Now, with any luck, I'll have Graham on the phone. Graham, can you hear me?
Good afternoon to you.
Ah, wonderful stuff. It actually worked.
Hi, Scott. Yes, you're here.
Now, this is local author Graham McQuaid. And so, good afternoon, Graham, and welcome to Felix FM.
Yep, good afternoon to you, and thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure, believe me. Now, I've got to ask you first off, when did you decide to put pen to paper?
Well, about 6 or 7 years ago, I had an idea to actually sort of like write a book as a tribute to my mum. So basically, my mother sadly passed away a couple of days before my first birthday.
Oh my goodness!
So during my kind of life, I've done various kind of charity events just to sort of raise money for the particular thing that took her away from us. And I thought, you know, given that she'd breathe life into me, I thought it was only right that I kind of breathe life into her memory. That's what the kind of motivation effectively was behind the book. 6 years ago, to answer your first question, sorry for drifting off, and that's when I decided to put pen to paper. So
that was basically your motivation for writing, straight off?
Yes.
Yeah. So how do you manage to fit your writing in with your day job? Because I imagine you've got a full-time job as well, and a family, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. It's difficult. And if you talk to any independent authors, that they'll tell you the same thing. They have to kind of cram their writing into early mornings, late nights. I mean, during, you know, days and weekends are pretty much out the window, especially if you've got a young family. I mean, my son's 5. Like you say, I've got a full-time job.
But I can imagine what that's like in a 5-year-old.
You just don't know. Yeah. It's tough. But see, the thing is, interestingly about that, though, it's very difficult to actually find the moment to write anyway, because the way I tend to write is I'll get an idea. I'll get a number of ideas during the course of the day if I'm out for a run or driving or whatever. And then what you do, you tend to just dump those ideas and then restructure them at another time. So I'm not really one for just sitting down at a regimented time in front of the computer and praying that something sort of like pops out of my head. So, but different people have different techniques. But so you're right. Time is quite a constraint. Well, it's actually, that's the most kind of precious currency, really, I think, for any sort of independent writer.
So when you're drafting out your idea for a book, do you know how it's going to end when you start it?
No. Do you know, again, like I say, I'm sure other people have said the same, but when you actually put a book together, you have an idea roughly what the kind of layout of that book is.
Mm.
But generally, the ending tends to change massively. I mean, in the two...
So you can get quite a surprise.
Well, yeah. Like I say, if someone sort of like took it upon themselves for whatever reason, decided to sort of like run off with the first draft, the chances are it wouldn't look anything like that by the time it got to publish anyway, because it just doesn't. And that's it's the great thing about how your imagination kind of works when you actually start getting creative, because it tends to sort of like show, you know what, it opens all different sorts of doors up and pushes you in all manner of directions.
So how do you keep your characters in character? Do you model them on people that you know, for example?
Well, interestingly, with regards to Margaret Gwendolyn Johnson is effectively the birth name of my mother. That character wasn't... That kind of formed a nucleus, if you like, to how the others would interact with her because of the character she was. And her character was from what other people had told me about her.
You didn't know her yourself.
No, so. I didn't know. No. And so, you know, that was kind of built up. And, you know, I filled in the spaces, obviously. But, yeah, with the other characters, they interact with her and, you know, they develop a fairly kind of strong bond, and you maintain that level of relationship. So it's easy to steer the characters if they've got that as a base, if that makes any sense. It is difficult, though. I mean, you know, in 15 days, there's a couple of fairly, well, in both books, actually, there's term in inverted commas, like the bad guys, and it's very easy to keep them in character because, you know, they've got one key motivation and, you know, and they've got a character which drives that sort of motivation.
Now, the books you've written are a trilogy, of course, and you wrote the one, and very quickly afterwards you seem to have produced the second one. So when do you expect the third one to come out?
Yeah, well, the third book should be, I'm aiming for sort of June, July of this year. That may be a little bit optimistic because, again, in the kind of writing process, I'm actually still in the phase of still publicising, the like marketing the other books.
Mm.
So that's the thing when you're an independent writer, you have to fill the space in with lots of other bits and pieces, and it takes you away from the kind of creativity to a certain degree. But no, I'm looking for around about June, July. Now, I actually started, so that would actually be 18 months, 2 years. So as every book I get into is taken, it's actually it's shorter to write. So, you know, the first book took about 2 years, then
yeah.
New Gods, I think I started in 2018, and then and this one, you know, I started kind of last year, got really into it. And hopefully, you know, so...
And you have plans for future books as well, do you?
Well,
after the third book.
After the third book, yeah. I'm kind of pretty sort of like wrapped up in this one at the moment for obvious reasons. But no, I have drafted others. In the second of the trilogy, 15 Days in May, there is a moment in that book where Margaret, the key character, talks about the books that she'd wrote for her son. She's got quite a tragic backstory, Margaret. And so what I've done, I've actually wrote those books. I've actually drafted those books out. And my plan is to actually, they're children's books, and I plan to actually have them published in her name.
Oh,
so
right.
I'll ghostwrite those. So they fit with the story, if you like, in 15 Days in May.
All right, well, let's turn our attention to the first two books that you've published. Now, the first of these, New Gods, I have to say, bears a remarkable resemblance to current events since it involves the release of a virus paralysing Europe, maybe further, and yet, incredibly, a vaccine is mysteriously discovered far faster than would normally be the case. Is this just a coincidence, or do you possess some uncanny second sight?
Well, you're not the first person to say this. I mean, obviously, I wrote the book back in 2018.
Mm.
Well, the heart of the book, effectively, it was published a year or so later. But how you've just summed it up is exactly how it is.
Yeah.
No uncanny second sight. Well, the thing is, it's the engine that kind of drives the story. The heart of the story, if you think of it, the heart is more about the relationship that develops among the team as they kind of try to work out exactly what's going on. Is it manipulated? Is it a natural occurrence? You know, that type of thing. So, yeah, it's pretty in keeping with what's going on at the moment. And some of the reviews are just hilarious, really, with some of the comments I'm getting back, which is quite funny.
Well, we won't ask you how it ends yet, but perhaps you could briefly outline the plot of the second book, which you've mentioned, 15 Days in May.
Yes. Well, I mean, the second book, it starts with a discovery of a family brutally murdered in Guatemala, in the rainforest of Guatemala.
Mm.
And then it kind of moves forward 28 years to events of a strange being discovered in Trenton, New Jersey. Now, it's not off the chart science fiction, you know, it's very much grounded, so it's very much here. But again, it's that essentially drives the, those events drive again, they're like the virus in the first book, they drive the book. But again, the group come together again and it's their relationship and it's their kind of obstacles and hurdles that they have to overcome to actually get to the heart of the issue and maybe prevent something sort of terrible happening. So,
and the other books that you're talking about there for the future, you're looking at children's books, so they look a bit different.
Well, here's the thing, though. With regards, I mean, obviously, because I'm in that kind of frame of mind anyway, I've never really been one for reading books to any of my kids. I've got two children that are older, but my son, like I said to you, is five. I've never been one to actually sort of like reading books to them. I tend to just make stories up.
Right.
So we got into a bit of a rhythm with some of these kind of characters. He would always talk about Prince Finley and his best friend called Stanley the Horse. I know it sounds really mad, but because I had to, he was really demanding. He was like Caligula. He was saying, feed me these stories. So I'm having to give him these stories. And then I just started writing them down. So, you know, it seemed an easy, I know it sounds terrible. I don't mean to sound like it's easy, because it's not easy, obviously, but because I've got the basis of these sort of stories, it's going to be fairly easy sort of like to transfer them into story, which I've done on a couple of them, where I've just needed a break from all of this horror and carnage. I've just relaxed a little bit and just told a few kind of light-hearted stories.
Just as well, I think you'd frighten the kids to death with a cover of books.
No, he won't read the other one. He's kind of aware of it, but there's just too many words in it for him at the moment. No, yeah.
Well, look, many thanks for talking to us today. I'm sure there's going to be a heck of a lot of interest in the two current novels. So perhaps you can give us the details of where these can be purchased, the prices, and all the other bits and pieces.
Yeah, okay. I don't wish to kind of plug a format, but they're obviously available in all kind of e-stores and stuff. But where I've actually got it published, I've got it published through Amazon. So they're available on Amazon.
Yeah.
In New Gods, it's in three formats. It's actually in... it's in ebook, paperback, and audiobook.
Mm-hmm.
New Gods is in paperback and ebook, so Kindle, and it's all there. And they vary in prices because if you've got kind of Kindle Unlimited, you can effectively download them for nothing. But the paperbacks, I think they work out around that sort of about $9.99. So that's that. They're effectively the formats that we're working with at the moment.
Good stuff. All right.
Yeah, the audiobook's an interesting one. Sorry, just to go on a bit, Scott, because I was just worried about the transition over to audiobook when you've got someone reading that story for you. But that's been it's been really well received, so I'm quite happy with the way that's performing at the moment.
Right, because that's narrated by Walt Allen, isn't it?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, he's done an incredible job. He's a big lad, comes out of North Dakota. He's got the best voice ever, and I'm so glad that we was able to hook up. And he's done a fantastic job with the book, really has.
Well, good luck with the books, and thank you. Very much hope you'll get back in touch with us when the final book in the Johnson trilogy is released in June, hopefully.
Yeah, I will. I'll definitely let you know it's getting on, and then if you want me back, I'll come back and have a chat.
Good stuff. Well, thanks very much indeed for that.